You're listening to the Best of the Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
Hey, Josh Graham here from The Drive. I don't want to take too much time, but I had to tell you about my friends at Anchor. If you haven't heard, Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast for you. That way it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more streaming services. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast with minimum resistance, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Now back to the Best of the Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
The Washington Redskins are still evaluating their team name, which means they're certainly and finally going to change it. That's a good thing, because if you were to ask me what the Redskins should have been doing over the last 20 years, I probably would have said something to the effect of, stop being the Redskins. And whatever way you take that, it probably would point you in a better direction than where you were already headed. Now, it seems Dan Snyder is being forced to change the name. He's run into issues and criticism, especially over the last 10 years, and he's remained solemn saying, hey, Native Americans, I know I'm not one of you, but this name's a name of honor and power and of respect. Not offensive, not a slur. You guys got it all wrong. I know exactly what it's intended for. And he thought that was going to go over well. It didn't. And now you have corporate sponsors backing out. FedEx saying they might pull funds away from the Redskins if they don't change the name. You have Nike not selling Redskins gear and not being a sponsor for Washington football. There are many others who are involved in this as well. That's kind of forced their hands. And I think what's going to happen here, Washington is going to get pulled reluctantly into a golden business opportunity. They are going to be pulled unwillingly into something that's going to ultimately make them a lot better and make Dan Snyder a lot more money. Because I understand wanting to connect back to your history. And unlike some teams, like you think about the Charlotte Hornets, for example. The Hornets, it was a no-brainer to go from to change the Bobcats name to the Hornets because there was no Bobcats history. When you think of the history of Charlotte basketball, you're going back to Alonzo Mourning, you're going back to Glenn Rice, Muggsy Bogues, Del Curry and company in the 90s. So it was easy to draw back on that and a very easy decision to change the name. You didn't have history to draw on. The Redskins, while they do have history, John Riggins on 4th-and-1 scoring in the Super Bowl. You have Joe Theismann and Daryl Green. You have the Fun Bunch. You have, I could go on and on and on. Nobody under the age of 35 has any emotional connection to the Washington Redskins doing anything good. Their last Super Bowl, it was the 91 season. Sawyer, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you know what team they beat in the Super Bowl?
I have absolutely. I couldn't even guess, I don't think.
One of the four straight appearances for the Bills. Can you name a Redskin from that 91 team?
Not even if I tried.
Mark Rippon, the quarterback.
Nope, no clue.
Okay. That's the point I'm trying to make here. Anybody under the age of 35 has no emotional connection to this team being any kind of relevant. So what brand actually exists there? I heard Kevin Durant talking about this when he was choosing whether to play for the Knicks. He said, I don't remember any time in my life the Knicks being any good. You would have to be 32 or younger to have an emotional tie to watching the Knicks be relevant in basketball. For the Redskins, I'm being generous in how I'm rounding here. If you were 5 years old in 1991, you might remember watching that. So I guess 86 would be the cut line. So I'm just going to be generous. 35-year cut line. I read this study last year that the NFL put out. 32% of NFL fans are between the ages of 18 and 34. So a third of NFL fans have no tie to you doing anything. So why is the name and this connection to the past so important for the Redskins to tie themselves to? Secondly, young sports fans, I'll tell you what they like. They like new. They do. That's why they line up and buy the newest pair of Jordans, even though they already have 20 pairs of them. Sawyer, how many pairs of Jordans do you own?
Oh, it right now has to be at least 7 or 8.
You're a video gamer. How many do you buy the newest Madden every single year?
Yeah, 2Ks and FIFAs and sometimes Madden.
2Ks, FIFA, Madden. Every single year you're getting the new one, right? Because you don't want the outdated stuff. You want the new stuff. Every time there's a new iPhone coming out, we're lining up outside stores to buy these things. It's not the older generation that's generally doing this. It's the younger generation. I don't care what people on Twitter say. I'm not going to root for the Redskins anymore if they change the name. Really? You're just going to stop watching the team? I'm sure a lot of people said that when Syracuse changed its name. We could go down the list of teams that have changed their names. I'm sure the hardcore stuck around. And heck, watching the Redskins last year when fans were allowed to attend games, what a novel time that was. There weren't many fans wearing Redskins stuff in the gear anyway sitting in the stands. There weren't Redskin fans out there. They weren't showing up because they're not any kind of good. So this is a smart, golden business opportunity to change the name. They're going to want the new gear with the new logo. Don't be fooled by the following of the Washington Capitals winning a Stanley Cup and the Washington Nationals last year. DC has always been and always will be a sports football town. They are a football town in DC. When the Redskins are good, it's unlike anything else there. So getting a winning product is very important, but before that happens, having a brand that young people can identify to and doesn't offend a race of people, that's a good place to be. Like, if the Masters changes its name, it would upset people on social media, but the people who like golf are still going to watch the tournament. You're not watching because it's named the Masters. You're watching because it's Augusta. You're watching because of the prestige of the tournament. The history wouldn't go away completely. It's just going to be a different name. So I think, yes, it feels like Daniel Snyder's teeth are being pulled here, but they're being pulled for the betterment of this organization. And it's amazing that we've gotten to this point where he hasn't even noticed it himself, the opportunity that exists to, in the interim, while his football team isn't any good, to capitalize on some good marketing and business. Darren Gant, ProFootballTalk.com, is going to join us. We'll talk about that, the breaking news of Pat Mahomes receiving a 10-year contract extension through 2031, according to Adam Schefter. And we'll get to Cam Newton playing with the New England Patriots. And speaking of Cam, he had another video that he put out on his Insta yesterday. Ooh, this one was pretty combative, Sawyer. Let's hear it. Let's hear Cam. I wonder who this is directed towards. Yeah, I didn't expect hyena analysis today from Cam. Didn't think that's where we're headed, but sounds like Cam's going to roar. 336-777-1600 is the phone number. If you have a birthday wish for Zion Williamson, thoughts on the Redskins, or Cam Newton's animal analysis, which includes what other animal? Oh, he even brought up the gorillas and the giraffes. Do you have a favorite zoo animal? For me, I love the giraffe. Giraffe's probably my favorite animal.
I think gorillas probably take the cake for me.
Why gorillas?
You can just sit and watch them, and they're each doing their own little thing, like as a community, and it's just so interesting. Like, giraffes just sit there and eat.
I don't think I've ever seen a gorilla up close in person.
We had this discussion where you've never been to the Asheboro Zoo, right?
I have not been to the Asheboro Zoo.
That's why. You got to go there. They have the best gorilla exhibit.
Did they have a giraffe?
They do have giraffes.
No, they don't.
Yes, they have everything. Anything
they have
you can
giraffes at Asheboro.
Asheboro, okay. Giraffe.
I want you to double check that. And before I even ask a question to Darren Gant, I want that question answered. Can we do that? Can we check if there are in fact giraffes at the Asheboro Zoo? I don't believe you, Sawyer.
I have
don't
a selfie your hands with up one like from 6 months ago, so you're automatically wrong.
Oh, and while I was talking about shoe wear, what are you rocking today?
I just got some Nikes on, just regular tennis shoes. Had to keep it classy.
See, I didn't know you were coming in today until literally I pulled up. I was going to bring the Jordan 3s in.
Oh, you should have done it.
Yeah, but I didn't know you were coming in. I get a text right as I'm pulling in. Robert saying, I'm already drunk. And so Sawyer's coming in. That's what we're going to do. All right. How's this for a tease? We'll talk about the greatest trick the devil played on sports fans. And talk about that time the devil went down to Georgia when ProFootballTalk.com's Darren Gant joins the show next. Before we get to ProFootballTalk.com's Darren Gant and the NFL, I get this from Ryan. Giraffes, zebras, and ostriches are all in the same place at the Asheboro Zoo. You can feed giraffes there as well. Sawyer, I'm a lover of giraffes. What can you tell me? The reason we're talking about this again, I think Cam was talking about the entire animal kingdom on his Instagram yesterday. It seemed to be a slight jab at the Panthers as well. What can you tell me based on the research you've done?
Well, there is a giraffe deck at the Asheboro Zoo. It's called the Acacia, I think I'm pronouncing that right, station giraffe deck, and they walk up, you can feed them. It's pretty cool. I watched them. I didn't feed, but I did go look at them, and it's fun going up there.
When it's safe to do so, I'm going to make a trip up to the Asheboro Zoo, I promise. Darren Gant, now joining us, one of our favorites from ProFootballTalk.com, and I want to talk to you about music because Charlie Daniels passed away earlier today. He had a song that once went, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, of course, which reminded me of a tweet you sent that's very applicable because I haven't been on the air since Cam Newton signed with the New England Patriots. You tweeted this out a week ago, and I think it's just terrific. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing people football was complicated. Sign good players instead of bad ones, on the cheap if you can, then ask them to do things they're good at and not things they're bad at. Then you can let your dog draft for you. Darren, Cam Newton on New England, I think they're the favorite to win the AFC East. What about you?
Doesn't have to be that hard, does it? You know, I mean, it's amazing. There are GMs out there who trade things for Nick Foles and then give him guaranteed money when they could have had Cam Newton for less money. And those GMs presumably just prefer bad quarterbacks to good ones. So I've heard all the excuses. I know about the injuries. I'm aware that it's complicated in the time of COVID and giving him a physical and all those kind of things. But sometimes you just got to stop and look at things at a very basic level. Cam Newton, better at football than all the other quarterbacks that got signed to big extensions this offseason, other than that one guy who just got rich in the last hour. But it just doesn't make any sense why other people would let this happen. And so many people who took worse alternatives than Cam Newton this offseason, I think they're going to regret it. I mean, listen, there's a chance, and I mentioned this in another tweet last week. I mean, there's a chance that Cam Newton is physically broken. And if he is, you're in play to draft the boy from Clemson with all the hair. So, and if you do that, then you're set up financially with the salary cap for the next 5 years.
What number would surprise Darren Gant that's attached to this 10-year contract Pat Mahomes reportedly just received?
Yeah, I'm hesitant to go real too far out on the limb on that one because that better be complicated. That better be tied to a percentage of future salary caps. That better be, it better include provisions that keep him the highest paid quarterback in the league somehow or another. I mean, the structure of this one's going to be a lot more important than the big headline number. I mean, you might see 10 years, $500 million. And it's, and we all know that a lot of that's cartoon money, and it's hard to trust it. But I'm hesitant until I dig into the structure of that. I mean, realistically, you can only prorate signing bonus over the first 5 years of a contract under the CBA. So I think it's going to be tricky to try to get a read on that based on whatever number gets tweeted out first, because the agent wants you to see the big number.
Hold one sec. Let's get the ESPN scroll at the bottom of the screen ready. Darren Gant says, don't be surprised if it's 10 years, $500 million.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Aggregators.
No, it's going to be a gigantic number. And listen, I, the reason I say it's going to be complicated, and I don't want to drive your show into the ditch on a Monday afternoon, but the NFL's facing a year in which revenue's probably going to go down, not up, and salary cap's tied to percentage of total revenue. So this is not the year I would necessarily want to bank heavily on that. I mean, if I'm Pat Mahomes, I would be almost willing to go Kirk Cousins and play it year to year. And yes, there's security in doing a 10-year deal now, we think, but without knowing anything about the structure of the contract. But there's far more opportunity 2 years from now, once we're on the, you know, hopefully when we're on the other side of COVID-19, when we're back to normal, when people are going to games again, when we're gambling on sports more than ever, and revenues go up and up. So he better have gotten something pretty sweet to tie himself in as long as he did.
Darren Gant, ProFootballTalk.com, with us here on Sports Hub Triad. So the Redskins, they're going to change their name. That's going to happen. They're still evaluating it. And here's the part that's interesting to me. The Redskins, I read last year in a study that the NFL, 32% of their fans are between 18 and 34 years old, which means over a third of the NFL's fan bases, NFL fans, do not have any positive recollection of the Redskins being really good in the National Football League. They won in the early 1990s, 91 with Mark Rippon and company.
Correct.
So they don't really have this positive brand among a third of their sports fans. It seems to be sports fans like new. It's why, especially younger sports fans, they're the ones that are getting the new Jordans every time there's a pair. They're the ones that go out and buy the newest iPhone, the newest Madden every single year. And it seems that if you had a new team name, while your team isn't any good, people would go out there and they will buy the new logo, they'll buy the new colors, and it probably would be a golden business opportunity. Isn't this an example of Dan Snyder just being dragged into what seems to be a golden business opportunity?
No question. I mean, I would also choose to hope, Josh, that a lot of those young people also wouldn't walk up to a person whose skin's a different color than theirs and use a slur to describe them. I would also hope that that is the truth. So maybe as we get younger as a society, and maybe as a new generation of people come along with different ideas, we become a little more progressive on some things too. Listen, that name needed changing a long time ago. It's offensive, and you can twist yourself up into knots, as other people are trying to do lately to try to defend it. But there's no defense of it. I've spent a little time on reservations in my life. I would not walk up to someone and say, hey, what's going on? Fill in the blank. Just wouldn't say it, and neither would you, and neither would any other person that's not hiding behind the anonymity and bravery of Twitter. And that's just not something normal, decent people do. It's a slur, period. You're right that there's a marketing opportunity. I also don't give Dan Snyder the benefit of the doubt to not screw it up. I mean, does he dig in his heels? Does he try to sell? Does he try to sell it to people who are more dug in on this than he is? I don't know that you could find anybody, but I guess anything's possible when you're dealing with rich old people. I don't think that I'm assuming he's not going to screw this up, because in 21 years, his team's 142-193-1. They're bad. And there's a reason they're bad, and it's not because of the 10 coaches he's employed. It's because of him.
Go to Bojangles meal. It's its 43rd birthday, the 43rd birthday of Bojangles. What's Darren Gant getting?
Well, unfortunately, I can't order it today, but the go-to Bojangles meal during Lent is get instead of a bun. That way you maximize your savory. You still get your fish in on Friday during Lent, and you're able to cross all those boxes. It's delicious. I owe it to my dear friend Luke DeCock from the News and Observer to turn me on to that about a decade or so ago when that came out. It's a life changer, and I'm here for it.
Wait, did you say fish? You broke up a bit there. Did you say fish at Bojangles?
Yeah. During Lent, Bojangles sells the Bojangler, the fish sandwich.
Unreal.
So you order that bad boy on a biscuit.
Sawyer is upset. Like, Sawyer, I've never seen you disagree with something a guest said more. Like, you were so upset. Why are you so mad, Sawyer?
That just pains me. Just to eat fish out of a drive-thru window is something I'll never do, ever in my entire life.
Well, you're living a sheltered and deprived life, Sawyer, and I regret that you've gone through unenlightened. I hope that next year, next March, when Lent rolls around, that you're able to take part in this joy, and it'll change you the way it changed me.
How will you remember Charlie Daniels?
As a complicated man. This guy, I was listening to Uneasy Rider a couple days ago, and he used to sing about people who are friends of those long-haired hippie type, pinko, word I can't say on your radio station. And then he turned into something else altogether. The political beliefs swayed from one end of the spectrum to the other. And, you know, that made him a complicated figure for a lot of people. But I do know he made a lot of great songs. I know he helped a lot of people along the way. And, you know, complicated is probably a word that could be used for a lot of us right now. At this moment in time, and that's how I'm going to remember him. I mean, the guy was a brilliant musician and did a lot of good for a lot of people, even though he had a lot of beliefs coming down the stretch that didn't align with mine.
Darren, I hope you're holding up well. It's good to hear your voice. I'm sure we'll catch up sometime soon. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, man, absolutely. See y'all later.
You got it. That's Darren Gant, ProFootballTalk.com. In addition to it being Bojangles' 43rd birthday, it's Zion Williamson's 20th birthday. And in honor of that, and also Pat Mahomes getting the massive deal that we've been covering, breaking news today, I'll list off who I believe to be the five biggest sports stars of the next decade, this next decade to come. That's next on The Drive. I've got an amazing story from vacation that I'll share with you in about 5 to 10 minutes. It involves this radio show, and it involves me in tears, literally. But the breaking news of the day, Pat Mahomes reportedly getting a 10-year contract extension from Kansas City. It's going to make him the richest quarterback, richest player in NFL history. He has 2 years remaining on his rookie deal. Those are going to play out, so it's ostensibly a 12-year contract that he has left with Kansas City. We haven't gotten the details of what the structure of the contract is going to be, but just know Pat Mahomes is going to be in Kansas City for a very long time. Zion Williamson turned 20 years old today. With that in mind, I started thinking about the five greatest athletes, the greatest superstars in sports to come over the next 10 years, because we're starting a new decade, 2020. The 2010s, I mean, you could argue who the top five are. Rather than do it in a specific order like I'm about to do, of course you'd have LeBron in that, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Tom Brady would be a part of that mix, Tiger Woods, Serena Williams. That would be some combination of the top five or six athletes, biggest superstars of the last 10 years. Over the next 10, here's where I'm beginning with number five.
Number five.
I think it has to be Deshaun Watson. 24 years old. It's crazy to think all he's accomplished, and he's 24 years of age. National title for Clemson, multiple appearances in the big game, multi-time Heisman finalist. Then in the league, he's just one of those guys who has it. He's special. Right now, he's not surrounded with the best infrastructure, but they're still getting to the playoffs. They're still leading Pat Mahomes in Kansas City by 20-plus points in the divisional round. So I think once they figure out the stuff around him, Watson, he's a special player, and I don't think that changes. I have him slightly over Lamar Jackson because we saw it with RG3. We saw it with Cam. Can it be consistently done what Lamar did last year? I need to see another year of it. I loved Lamar when he played at Louisville. I still love Lamar, but I think Deshaun Watson, I feel more comfortable saying he's going to be a superstar over the next 10 years than I do Lamar Jackson at this moment.
Number four.
Russell Wilson. I think he's going to play into his 40s. Why? I can't think of a time he's taken a big hit. At NC State, at Wisconsin, Seahawks, he doesn't miss starts. He doesn't miss games. He doesn't take big hits. Cerebral, knows when to get the ball out, knows when to slide, knows when to run. I mean, best quarterback slide there is because he was a great baseball player, of course. So Russell is number four on the list. Sawyer, it looks like you have an issue with this.
I think if you're going this list in the direction of like the younger players, I just think Russell Wilson for 10 whole, I mean, you're talking Brady numbers, which not a lot of people have done what Brady's done. I just don't see Russell.
You think
in
he
that.
Ages out?
I think he ages out in maybe 6-ish years where it's like there, it starts to go really, not really downhill, but it plateaus out other than some other athletes that might keep it up.
This would be my argument against that. Peyton Manning played nearly to 40. Drew Brees right now is playing in his 40s. Tom Brady, you mentioned him. Aaron Rodgers has shown no sign of slowing down. He's 37 years old. I think the game has become safer for the quarterbacks. You can't hit them down low. You can't put your entire weight, whatever that means, on the quarterback as a defensive lineman or a linebacker. More penalty flags are being thrown. Quarterbacks, they're becoming safer, which means they can play longer. Russell, as I mentioned, doesn't take the big hit. So I see this is a guy who's going to play over the next 10 years, and I think he's going to win a couple of MVP awards. I think he's that kind of good. I put him at number four. Also, you're talking about celebrity involved in this as well. He's married to Ciara. That's a power couple. He's good at social media. Seems to have an interest when it comes to movies and entertainment. So I think we're going to see a lot of Russell. I think he is, even though he's 31, he's one of the five biggest superstars of the 2020s.
Number three.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Best player in the league right now. And the reason he's not higher, even though he's 25, you got a bit of a language barrier. And his name is just really difficult to pronounce. He hasn't won a title yet. He's carrying his team around him, and that's a really good sign. But just because you're the most talented player doesn't mean you're the biggest star. I think that's important to differentiate. Just because you are the most talented player doesn't mean you're the biggest star. Like this year. Let me think of a good way to put this. Ja Morant's having a better year than Zion. He might be a better basketball player than Zion. Right now, there's no chance he's a bigger star. Giannis, best player in the league, not a bigger star than LeBron, not a bigger star than Kevin Durant, not a bigger star than I think even Kyrie Irving. It's not really a slight on the talent of Giannis. That's unmistakable. That's undeniable. But Giannis, he is definitely in the top five. Yes, sir.
You said there was a little bit of a language barrier and stuff. You might not be able to interact. I do have to say this might be just me because I'm younger. It's hard to find a better NBA player that's as good at
entertaining.
That's as good at TikTok as Giannis is.
He is entertaining on social media. There's no question about it. But I have him at number three. Let me see if you will dispute any of the final two here.
Number two.
Pat Mahomes. Can't put him at number one, and I'll tell you why. Basketball players have always been in the culture, in the celebrity space, bigger stars than football players. When's the last time the football star was the most famous athlete in this country? When's that ever happened? We've had it where it was baseball players before it was Muhammad Ali. But then when it was Bird and Magic, that started the individual nature of basketball taking hold as also being pseudo-celebrity. You see these guys' faces when they play. There's only five of them on the floor. They have a bigger impact when they play. So it's Magic and Bird, then it turns to Michael Jordan. And in the 2000s, Peyton Manning wasn't the biggest star in sports. That was Kobe Bryant in the 2000s. Then it was LeBron James, bigger than Brady, bigger than Manning, bigger than Breeze. And I just feel like Mahomes, he's going to be awesome. That's why he gets this contract. It's going to go through 2031 when I'm going to be drinking lattes on Mars a dozen years from now. Who knows what we're going to be doing in 2031. But Mahomes, obviously, I don't need to explain the football stuff. He's not number one because I don't remember a time a football player was number one and the NBA isn't trending downward.
Number one.
Zion Williamson. It's got to be Zion. He turned 20 today. Last week, they announced he was going to be on the 2K cover for next-gen consoles. First player who's a teenager to be announced as a cover athlete for Madden or 2K. Here's why I'm going Zion. Every single time, this guy's been in the public space for a long time. We've known who Zion is. As a junior in high school, Drake was wearing his jersey from Spartanburg Day at concerts. He has exceeded every single expectation set for him. Every single one. Oh, this guy, he's going to be hated at Duke. Then he makes Duke likable. He's going to... He's too heavy. He might not even be the best player in college basketball. He might even be the best player on his team. You got RJ Barrett there. Exceeded that. Best player in the sport. No question about it. Number one pick. And then when he steps on the floor to play, he's dominant. Nobody's had greater expectations coming into the league than this guy. He's exceeded everything. And I suspect he'll do it again. Oh, he's going to be fat. He's going to be flabby when the season restarts. You see him and he looks like a superhero. Zion Williamson, he's number one on this list. First name recognition already, household name, at 20 years old. Duke helped with that. Instagram certainly helped. He's a freak athlete, massive star. Zion's number one on this list. Biggest sports stars of the next decade. You can tweet us at SportsUpTryon, 336-777-1600. If you have any issues with the list, 5 Watson, 4 Russell Wilson, 3 Giannis Antetokounmpo, number 2 Pat Mahomes, number 1 Zion Williamson. Now let me get to this story. So I talked about it briefly on air before I was off for a weekend change, but I was going to Tennessee for a memorial for my grandfather, who passed away in March, but we haven't been able to grieve and gather as a family because of coronavirus. So we went down to Tennessee, not Knoxville, but past Knoxville, town right outside of Bristol called Kingsport, Tennessee, a few hours down the road. I get there, and I am a puddle. I am an emotional guy, Sawyer. I don't know how many women have seen you weep in public that aren't your family, but for me, it has to be double digits. I'm an emotional guy, and I have no problem admitting that. So I show up to this thing, and it's at a public park. So there's a lot of people, but it's outdoors, so we remain safe. I'm wearing shades because I'm already emotional showing up to this thing. And right after the service ended, my brother, he put together this video. He works in Hollywood. Chronicling my grandfather's life, that somebody came and they sang his favorite song. Oh, man, I was just in all of my feels. Somebody walks up to me who is with a family member wearing a T-shirt. I don't know this guy's name. And he said, by the way, I'm a big Kentucky fan. That's the time he chose to walk up to me 2 months after the Wake Forest-Kentucky beef that this show turned into a national story. This guy in Tennessee, SEC country, I guess, chose to come up to me and say, by the way, I'm a big Kentucky fan. I was at peak vulnerable, not thinking about my job or anything whatsoever related to work. Guy walks up to me. I mean, I have shades on and my eyes are welling, Sawyer. Mm. By the way, big Kentucky fan.
You got to finish the anticipation of what concurred after that.
I didn't know what to say. I was flummoxed. I was amazed. Why is this being brought up to me? How do you know about this? This is crazy. I just said, okay. I mean, what do you say to that?
There's absolutely, I mean, what do were you, you say guys to like that? Semi-dressed up or this guy come up just bumming it? Like
he had a t-shirt. I had like a polo shirt on because it was outside. And I wasn't wearing cargo shorts, but I was wearing about the shorts I have on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't bumming it by any means.
Some
people were dressed up a little more.
That guy is really bold. I'll say the whole time, you know, he's like, I'm going to walk over to Josh Graham. I'm going to tell him I'm a Kentucky fan. They're singing the songs.
That's right.
He's got one thing in his head.
That's right. I'm crying. By the way, big Kentucky fan. Big Blue Nation's out of its damn mind.
They're savages. They're nothing like we've ever seen.
I respect it. I really do. I respect the hell out of Big Blue Nation. I learned it over the last few months. Now, it's high volume, not high quality, but I respect the volume. I certainly do. Just not at my grandfather's memorial service. While I'm crying. I'm just, my eyes are welled up full of tears. That's the one place I'm usually pretty aware, but in that moment, I was caught off guard. We should have brought this up with Darren Gant an hour ago, but the hottest take I've seen all day today, by the way, this is the Let's Get Crazy segment, so hot takes are going to be flying left and right in just a bit. Darren saying that the Bojangler is the number one thing to get at Bojangles. Today's the 43rd birthday of Bojangles. Apparently, that's like a fish product that they sell during Lent. That sounds like a southern lair of hell that I don't care to go to buying fish. I'm very particular about where I order fish from. Drive-through restaurant at Bojangles, not one of those places I'm particularly interested in getting fish. But he also had another take that I didn't see until he hung up the phone. On Twitter, he said that the seasoned fries are vastly overrated. That you could get 400 things at Bojangles better than the seasoned fries, which I would argue are better than the Chick-fil-A waffle fries. That's a debate we can have. Like, I'm down. If you want to have this fight on the air today, I'm here to have it. Like, there are so many things going on in our country right now. None more important than figuring out waffle fries at Chick-fil-A versus the Bojangles seasoned fry. Because I'm a seasoned fry guy who gets the barbecue sauce too. The barbecue sauce, an essential piece of the Bojangles meal. Wouldn't you agree?
I don't do sauces at my Bojangles. They have really bad sauce.
The Bojangles barbecue sauce is pretty good.
It's all meh.
And then when I go Chick-fil-A, I get two barbecues and a ranch.
What, no part of Polynesian, the strategy. No Chick-fil-A sauce?
Nothing? I'm fine. I can rock with the Chick-fil-A sauce, but Polynesian sauce, it can go. We could shoot it to space. I don't need to deal with the Polynesian sauce at all.
You in space today. Playing football on Mars, right. Football on the moon.
You know what?
Sauces.
Like, let me see if I had. I remember doing a poll not too long ago, simply asking what was better. It was amazing. Before I met the girl that I'm dating now, a few years ago, I remember I put out this poll saying what was better. Like, it was like on a weekend. I was on a date, and she was arguing for Chick-fil-A waffle fries. I said Bojangles seasoned fries. So I said, I'm going to put it out on my Twitter poll. And that's what I did. And then there was this family of six on the other side of Foothills Brewery who got up from the table, walked over, and said, big fan of the show. By the way, we were all just discussing this poll a second ago that you just put out. It's got to be the seasoned fries.
There's nothing more Josh Graham. When you say Josh Graham, there's nothing more Josh Graham than anytime someone disagrees with him, he puts out a poll to Twitter to see which
That's
one
right.
wins. Nothing
I did more it. Josh I did Graham. It. Guess what? There wasn't a second date.
Ooh.
I don't know if it was because of the poll
Might
or because of her opinion, her preference of fries. I don't know what it was. Probably one of the two. Who's to say which one it was? Anyway, what a great way to set up Let's Get Crazy.
Crazy.
All right. I have an update on that poll, by the way. This is from June 2nd of last year. Which fries are better? Hundreds of votes on this. Bojangles Cajun fries, 54%. Chick-fil-A, 46%. So
That's
it is
close.
A very divisive topic. I like them both. I prefer the Bojangles fries. Happy birthday to Bojangles. Okay, I'll start things off. I've had this take stewing for the last week and a half. Mask, they are mandatory in the state of North Carolina, as they should be. But I feel like we should wear a mask in a certain setting even after we find a vaccine and we get through the pandemic. That setting, in a public bathroom. Wearing a mask in a public bathroom a lot better than not having a mask in a public bathroom, regardless if there's a pandemic going on. This is what I figured out. I'm on the way to Myrtle Beach. I go to a bathroom. I'm expecting it to be horrid. It's a gas station public bathroom. They smell terrible. It's loaded. There are a lot of people in the bathroom. I have the mask on. All of a sudden, my breath smells a lot better than what I would be smelling otherwise. So I might actually keep it. When we have a vaccine, I might actually keep the mask handy for when I go into public bathrooms.
I don't think that's a bad really take at all. I've been noticing a lot of these places that it's like a little iffy. I'm kind of enjoying wearing a mask rather than not wearing one.
Let's go to Justin in Elkin. Justin, let's get crazy. What do you got?
Hey, I got a hot take for you.
Bring it.
Joey Chestnut will not only make your top five athletes of the 2020s, he will eat 100 hot dogs at one of the competitions this decade.
Whoa! Let me ask you this, Justin. How many hot dogs can you eat in 10 minutes?
I certainly can't eat 75. I'd be lucky if I could get seven.
That's excellent. Thanks for the call, Justin. Hope you're doing well. Fantastic stuff there. I've always wanted to do a hot dog eating contest just to see where I am after 10 minutes. Because in my head, I feel like I can get to 12.
No
I feel like I can get
way.
To 10 to 12.
No way.
That's where my mind takes me. But in my heart of heart, in my body, I know I can't do that.
Six max.
Yeah, it's a lot harder than it looks. But when Chestnut was motoring through the first 5 minutes, I was thinking, maybe he can get to 100. So that's a good take there by Justin.
Well, my buddy Justin really did take my hot take. I was going to say even go past and just say Joey Chestnut was the most dominant athlete of his sport or of any sport. But I'll go with my second one. It's fresh. We were just talking about it. It's Bojangles' birthday. Bojangles is the best fast food restaurant in all of the United States of America.
It is a lot better than In-N-Out Burger, which people out west swear by. The burger's okay. The fries, I mean, people get it with the sauce on top. It's like the Thousand Islands dressing sauce. I'm not a big fan of that. So I'm not a big In-N-Out guy. I'm not going to push back on that. That's a hot take, certainly. You're not going to have much disagreement on my part here. Washington is looking for a new name for its football team. Do you know what people have been calling this team the last 10 years when they refused to call them the Washington Redskins? They've called them what, Sawyer?
I do not know.
I mean, people in the media, they're referring to this team. They're not going to call them the Washington Redskins. What do they call them?
I'm just having a... I can't...
They usually just call them the Washington football team. So that's what they're going to come back with. They're going to say, Here's what we're going to call us. We're not the Washington Redskins anymore. We're now the Washington Football Team. People have been calling them that anyway. It's like soccer. Like, hey, we have the Chelsea Football Club. Oh, it's the Washington Football Team. Deal with it.
I have one better for you.
What's that?
Dan Snyder will come out and say the team name has been changed to the DC Redskins.
You're stealing Onion headlines, Sawyer. I see what you're doing there. The Onion, they tweeted that out like 6 or 7 years ago. Hey, the Redskins are going to change their name. They're now the DC Redskins. They did it. Darius Rucker gets all this credit for Wagon Wheel. And it's criminal. It is criminal. I hate Darius Rucker's music for this song. It's true. Darius Rucker's version of Wagon Wheel is garbage. Last night, there was this trending topic. What is the best cover song of all time? It's definitely not Darius Rucker's Wagon Wheel. Old Crow Medicine shows where it's at. Also, a lot of those lyrics were written by Bob Dylan once upon a time in the early 1970s. A lot of people don't know that. Old Crow Medicine Show's version waxes Darius Rucker's version. It is garbage.
I don't know if that deserves a horn. I gave it one, but that I think it's almost unanimous that the Old Crow Medicine Show's
I think you're wrong. Darius Rucker won a Grammy.
No way.
For Wagon Wheel.
Ugh, that's disgusting.
It's terrible. It is disgusting. That is the word to use. When you think about the greatest cover songs of all time, where do you go? Because obvious places might be Hallelujah, Jeff Buckley's version, Rufus Wainwright's version of the original Leonard Cohen song, Along Came the Watchtower, another Bob Dylan song. Jimi Hendrix's rendition of that comes to mind immediately. Respect Aretha Franklin. It wasn't originally her song.
Ooh.
She crushed that. And I'm trying to think. Whitney Houston. A lot of people think that I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston's better than the Dolly Parton song. I don't know if that's true. They're just different kinds of songs. I'd probably go Killing Me Softly, Frank Sinatra, as the best cover song there is. What comes to mind immediately for you?
Well, I didn't even know R.E.S.P.C.T. was a cover song.
Oh, it's definitely a cover song.
I think that has to definitely take the cake for me because that's one of the all-time.
Daniel Watson tweets in, Shinedown's version of Simple Man. I'm sure it's pretty good. Simple Man, a really good karaoke song to sing in the South. Like when those lyrics start playing and you're like at a saloon type place, hole in the wall, that'll get you where you need to go.
You love you some karaoke.
I miss karaoke.
Oh, that's probably, yeah. You're probably dying right now. All you have is the
thing
in here.
When are you going to feel safe to sing karaoke again?
I've been waiting until I feel safe to play pickup basketball, and I don't think it's going to be for a while.
Am I going to sing karaoke in the year 2020 for the rest of the year?
You can karaoke with a mask on. It might not be the same, but you get a little bit of it.
But karaoke usually happens in bars, Sawyer.
Bars are open here. Go wear a mask. Get you some karaoke on. Might not be safe, but you know.
Yeah, I'm not really there right now. I'll tell you why Cam and the Patriots should be the undisputed favorite to win the AFC East. Next on the Drive. While we were on vacation, a massive recruiting headline in the way of five-star corner Tony Grimes announcing he's going to be a North Carolina Tar Heel. This is just the latest of terrific recruits that Mack Brown has added over the last few weeks for the 2021 class that's top five according to 24/7. At about this time tomorrow, Mack Brown will be on this show to talk about what he's done on the recruiting trail, among other things. But right now, we're being joined by college football reporter from CBSSports.com. One of our favorites, Chip Patterson, is kind enough to be here. I've said this the last few months just because I was at that Clemson-North Carolina game last year. I saw how Clemson was stymied in a way that a Trevor Lawrence-led team hasn't been stymied in this league the last few years. It feels like to me, because of the combination of Mack Brown, Sam Howell, and the recruiting we're seeing, that North Carolina has already become the biggest threat in the ACC to Clemson. Do you buy that, or is it too soon to say that for a Tar Heel team that last year was barely above 500?
I think it is closer to Clemson being the Florida State of the 90s that won 70 of its first 72 conference games than it is to whoever is holding that second-place challenger mantle to Clemson. Like that, we're talking about historic dominance for Clemson in the ACC, but that doesn't mean that we should ignore the efforts of Mack Brown in North Carolina or what Scott Satterfield has been able to do in quick time at Louisville, what Mike Norvell can do at Florida State, the important season ahead for Justin Fuente at Virginia Tech. You know, it shouldn't mean that being the next in line or the closest to challenge is not of value or without merit. But I do, you know, if we're going to talk about who's close to Clemson behind them, I think that Clemson is really only chasing history. And so that's, you know, that's one of those like cold, sobering realizations where you can be the next team up. You can be the number two. But man, there's still the way the Tigers are pacing, even on the recruiting trail themselves. I mean, Josh, they won two national championships before they started recruiting at that top five level. Like they were getting it with top 10, top 15 classes. And I think that Mack Brown knows that the recruiting trail is a funny thing because momentum actually matters. Like there's no such thing as momentum in sports. You know, we love to hear that. Momentum is just an easy talking point within the context of a game. But momentum absolutely matters on the recruiting trail. And so when those dominoes start to fall, those kids start to talk to each other. When Sam Howell flips from Florida State and commits to Mack Brown, that makes it more likely that Drake May is going to flip from Alabama and then go to North Carolina. Drake May, the four-star quarterback out of Charlotte, some people project that he might even be a five-star by the end of the cycle, joining Tony Grimes as five stars in this absolutely stacked recruiting class for North Carolina. Some of it's serendipitous. You know, the fact that the state of North Carolina is as talented now as it's been in the recruiting services era. So just to be able to have all this momentum behind your back at a time when the in-state talent is great, is that's one thing. But the commitment of Tony Grimes is the kind of thing that sends shockwaves across college football because North Carolina went head-to-head with Ohio State, went head-to-head with Georgia and Texas A&M, those big dog recruiting programs. And so I think that Mack Brown is really trying to follow that momentum path. A bit, knows it's going to be a slow building process, but if you're able to win those recruiting battles one by one, it makes all the ones down the line even easier. There was a time where Clemson was celebrating the commitment of four-star players. Now all of a sudden it's competing for potentially number one classes in the country. You got to build with steps, and I think that Mack Brown understands that, and I think that these first steps, exceeding expectation in year one, cleaning up on the recruiting trail, all of it points to the kind of building that can be really long-lasting.
If you haven't already, follow him on Twitter at Chip_Patterson, joining us from CBSSports.com on Sports Hub Triad. This is the first week since I think May, Chip, where I felt it's become less likely versus more likely there's going to be a college football season. I'd say I'm 45% confident probably when I see the news out of Alabama, the way things are being handled in the South, and I see how many Clemson Tigers are testing positive, USC, everything's going to be on campus, and then obviously a lot of stuff happening in the Ivy League as well as things are expected to be shut down. Potentially there's a big vote going on this week. When you look at it, where are you on your confidence level of college football being played?
Well, first of all, I hate that we've made it like picking the college football playoff. I mean, that stinks.
Yeah.
Can we have an honest human moment that it stinks that as analysts and as people in sports media, it feels like we're giving out gambling tips on the future of the health of the country? Yeah, it's not my favorite position. Here's where my head is at as we're talking here today. I think that protocols have been put in place such that there will be efforts for college football to start this fall. That trying to push it to the spring to some people within the college sports community, to some decision makers within the college sports community, is just, you know, basically just continuing to hold off like getting an extension on a payment. Like, you're still going to have to pay it at some point. There is, you know, almost this optimism, or at least this hope, and I don't really know, you know, what else it's coming from, but that if you can put in together the right protocols, then you can manage this through the fall season, and you can have some semblance of a college football season. I think the idea of pushing the entire season to the spring or canceling it altogether is a decision that no one really wants to make. They are problem solvers, these, you know, the leaders of athletic departments and universities. But as I look at sort of the current state of the health of the country, here's the scenario I imagine. I imagine that there will be at least one, if not many, campus communities that, in welcoming back students and in going into the fall semester, reach a point where university leadership may have to cancel all school activities. And if that includes a football team practicing games and the like, then all of a sudden there's going to be an impact. And so I'm imagining that we will have college football this fall, but I'm also imagining that it's probably going to be messy, and that it's probably going to be uncomfortable, and that when we're trying to pick the college football playoff, we might be deciding between teams that have a 6-1 record because 5 of their games ended up getting canceled or rescheduled, and another team that maybe has an 8-1 record, only 3 of their games having been canceled or rescheduled. I imagine that we are going to be reminded on a weekly basis of the virus's impact on this country. But just like we've seen with the PGA Tour, which is now several weeks into the process, they've had players test positive. They've had players sit out as a result of, you know, an abundance of caution because of maybe somebody else receiving a positive test. But the PGA Tour has marched on. Now, they've tightened restrictions, and they've been very proactive to get the message out to their players. But in the same way that, you know, we're seeing, like, I've paid some close attention to the Bundesliga, the return of the English Premier League. While Europe is in a different place with the virus than we are, I think the idea is protocols are being put in place. The NBA, with its bubble, you know, everyone's going to try to make an effort to get this thing off. But I do believe that if things continue as we are pacing right now, it will be a college football season that will have all kinds of reminders of what's going on in the country.
You are so right about the way that people are talking about this issue, trying to put it in a debate-like like format that we're used to in sports. I see Philip Rivers earlier today asking on a call, hey, what happens if you're asymptomatic before the Super Bowl? Are you saying we can't play? And it had me thinking of just a hellscape that might exist if Stephen A. Smith is debating with somebody else, hey, should Tom Brady play this week if he's asymptomatic? That doesn't sound like really what I want to hear on sports talk radio or on sports television as well, and I hope that's not where we're headed, Chip.
I mean, but you are going to have, again, as I continue to play this out, where I say I do think they will play college football, but no, I do not think it will be comfortable, and no, I do not think it will be a clean and tidy 12-game season for all 130 FBS teams. You know, there's going to be like a big weekend, or there's going to be some road trip where there was like all of a sudden a massive run. I mean, we've had situations where you get these murmurs from a school or from a team, and all of a sudden you find out that like half a basketball team has the flu, right? Or like a stomach bug has gone through the whole team. Well, you know, what happens when you start to hear those murmurs going into a weekend where it's like, yeah, I don't know if, let's say, like, for example, like, I don't know if Maryland is going to be making the trip to Ann Arbor. I know that Maryland's scheduled to play at Michigan, but, you know, there's some rumors and there's some reports that suggest that this one might be a game that Maryland sits out. And I'm just pulling two M's off the top of my head right now for that example. I've no reason to single out either one of them. But I think that those are going to be the, on a week-by-week basis, those are going to be the kind of tough decisions that are made because, you know, what if you are completely healthy, but your significant other tests positive for coronavirus? According to many protocols that are put in place across the whole FBS Power 5 landscape, that would mean that you, go into a monitoring and testing quarantine-like atmosphere. And so if it is the significant other of QB1, well, then sorry. That means QB2 is going to have to start. And I think that team's depth might end up being tested. I don't know, man. Like, here's what I'm balancing. The realities of what it's looking like right now with the understanding that nobody just wants to quit. No players want to just quit and throw their hands up. No coaches want to throw their hands up and quit. No athletic directors want to throw their hands up and quit. And it is just going to be a matter of how all of us as a society behave and how the virus acts, something we've got no control over, as to, you know, how much of an impact it ends up having on the college football season.
Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, with us here on Sports Hub Triad. Real quick before I let you go, Dan Wolken had some reporting last week where he reached out to numerous people in the NFL and was talking about if they would budge, say, the NFL draft date if college football decided that spring was best for them, and they said that. It didn't really get that far down the line before the NFL just said, yeah, that's not something we're really interested in doing. So if there was, hypothetically, a spring football season, something that's becoming more and more popular, or more and more discussed is probably the better way to say it, what do you think's the biggest red tape there, the biggest challenge with doing so?
That you don't even know if the virus is going to be beat or if a vaccine's going to be here in the spring. Like, are you just, like, if you move everything to the spring, things don't get better, or they even are worse as we get into December and January, then you maybe have missed out on two opportunities. Like, if you can't get started in the spring as you wanted to, and then you've got a full calendar year without college football. And that's some real tough, that's a real tough outlook for college sports. So I think that the push to be able to put in the protocols to allow for competition to happen this fall, I think is driven with the idea that even if you postpone it to the spring, there's no guarantee things are going to be better in the spring.
He's on Twitter at Chip_Patterson. Really good stuff on college sports and beyond that. Shoot him a follow, and we hope to catch up with you sometime soon. It's just good to hear your voice, Chip. I hope things are going well.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
You as well. That is Chip Patterson on Twitter at Chip_Patterson, CBSSports.com. There's negative news regarding coronavirus with the MLS, where one of the teams has had a number of positive tests, FC Dallas. They aren't going to go to the return to play tournament on the same day. A player said since his wife is pregnant from LAFC, he's not going to return to play at the tournament as well. And it just, mixing that with the news of Nick Markakis not going to play baseball and David Price over the weekend, a lot of things are just being thrown in the sky, and you're just like, are we even going to get to the finish line? Actually, to hell with the finish line. Are we even going to get to the start line to get some of these things off the ground? And there's a lot of uncertainty with that. But rather than going that path, I'm more interested in talking to Sawyer, because Sawyer he's a cocky individual. And he said right before the interview started, where the microphones are turned on, hey, Robert's going to be back in this chair tomorrow. The next time you see me, I might be a professional golfer in the PGA Tour because I shot a couple of birdies the last few days. Explain yourself.
Well, sometimes, like, before I get out, you know, and I play a round of golf, been a lot of golf, you know, with coronavirus, there's really nothing else to do sports-wise, so I've been getting out and starting to pick it back up after a few years, and one of the things I just tell myself is I have to be confident, because when I get out there and I shoot, like, a 102, like, the only thing I have left is telling myself that one day it'll get better. So that's what I was doing, you know, maybe one day I'll be a PGA Tour pro, and that kind of keeps me going, which will get me out there the next day.
What are you shooting now?
Well, right now, low 90s, you know, mid-80s, couple birdies around.
You're not shooting in the 80s.
I shot an 84 on a Friday. So, yeah, we're doing pretty good. I'm pretty proud of myself.
Do you have a good video game story update? You never got a game with Ocho Cinco off the ground. Did you even ever reach out to Ocho Cinco?
This is awkward.
Did you?
I never did.
You never reached out to him?
I never did.
So you talked all this smack. Thank goodness you beat Joel Berry.
Oh, easily. You said easily, no, too.
You said
easily.
You were going to smoke Joel Berry. It went to overtime, and he wasn't even playing on the console he generally plays with.
I told him, let's run it back. When you know when Corona's done, run it back on the PS4, but we'll see.
Gosh.
He's probably going to die.
That week.
It was embarrassing.
That week was the week that everything got shut down.
2 days after the ACC tournament's over.
That's right.
It's crazy.
That's right. So we... Can you figure out a way? You have Twitch.
Josh, I haven't played video games in 3 months.
What do you think Joel Berry's been doing?
Probably playing video games.
Is there a way that via Twitch, you guys could maybe not in the same place set up a game and play each other?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Then maybe we could do that because we need something.
we need video games.
Something before the end of July where we have the NBA starting. Can we try to get that off the ground?
We can make it work.
Okay. I want that. I want that to happen.
But you can't root against me this time. You have to root for the hometown.
No, I'm rooting for Joel. I'm definitely going to root for Joel Berry. You kidding me?
I let that game go into overtime for the content, and now you're saying you're going to root for Joel? The content I gave this show?
He almost hit a game-winning shot in your eye hole in regulation. I don't think
that was
done intentionally.
That was me with Kemba Walker.
Oh.
You don't remember B-Dot yelling Kemba loud as he can go before it misses?
I forgot who the teams were.
He was the Jazz.
Utah, yeah.
Jazz and Celtics.
I think Joel gets you the second time.
Never.
Because you know what would happen if he beats you the second time, then there's going to be a third time.
But, I mean, as fun as that would be, I think I have to just shut him out. I don't think I can. I can't allow myself to lose.
Oh, I know. You would not let that happen intentionally.
No.
Because I will unleash holy hell on you if you if you lose to Joel Berry.
Just throw the game, yeah.
Like, because you claim to be this video game savant. Oh, I make money on the side playing on Twitch. That's real cool. And, I mean, if you don't beat guys who are getting paid professionally to play basketball, not 2K, then I'll judge you. I'll just judge you unendingly.
Technically, Joel said that he had played more than I had played before we met in our matchup. So I have that running for me. He had a little bit more practice time than I had.
Oh, shut up.
Still won.
What do you got in Ticket to the House today?
Let's say I do not want my food dispensed.
Ooh. Very intrigued. We take it to the house next.